Now let's open our Bibles together, and we're turning in the book of John's Gospel, and the chapter number 1. That's John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're reading verses 1 to 12. I want you to follow the reading of God's precious Word. That's John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of flesh, or not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Ask the Lord to bless our meditation upon his Word. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word this day. And we pray that Thou will bless us as we gather on this Christmas Sabbath morning. We thank Thee and we praise Thee for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that Thou will bless our meditation upon Him. Oh God, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We thank Thee that we're going to think on Him and meditate upon Him who is the altogether lovely One. And so we pray that we might know a deep sense of Thy presence. Pour out of Thy Holy Spirit upon us, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Today we gather on this Lord's Day morning on Christmas Sunday to remember the birth or the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Word in the flesh. If you look at verse number 14 of John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says, "And the Word was made flesh." And the word there, made flesh, was became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, he was emphasizing and laying down before us as a foundational doctrine of Christianity this great truth of the Lord Jesus Christ becoming flesh. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in the verse 16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." And when you study the New Testament, you will find that this scriptural emphasis upon that great truth, that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, was made flesh. For example, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Christ Jesus is come in the flesh." In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 3, it says, "God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "Christ being put to death in the flesh." And then, of course, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, 22, "And you, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." And of course, the Word of God tells us very clearly that this is an important doctrinal truth of the Word of God, because it tells us that every spirit that confesses, or refuses rather to confess, that truth that Christ came in the flesh is declared not to be of God, but has the spirit of Antichrist and not the spirit of Christ in him. And of course, the coming in the flesh was manifested by a miraculous conception and by the virgin birth. The Bible tells us way back there in the book of Isaiah, the prophecy. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. And the virgin birth is like the doctrine of the deity of Christ, the atoning blood of Christ, the sacrificial death of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, and also the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are all fundamentals of the Christian faith. Now, the liberals and the modernists, they just take a swipe at all those things. And of course, as I was reminded, that the modernists, they go to the birth of Christ and they tell us there is no supernatural incarnation there. They go to through the person of Christ and they tell us there's no supernatural deity there. They go through the sinless life of Christ and they tell us that there's no miraculous purity there. They go to the works of Christ and they tell us there's no supernatural miracles there. They go through the words of Christ and they tell us that there's no supernatural wisdom there. They go through the death of Christ and they say there's no supernatural atonement there. They go through the blood of Christ and they tell us there's no supernatural cleansing there. They go to the tomb of Christ and they say there's no supernatural resurrection there. My friend, we want to say very clearly, as we stand in the Lord's house today, that we believe in a supernatural Christianity that presents a supernatural Christ with a supernatural death and life and birth and life and death and resurrection, and one who is coming again, and thank God will come in a supernatural way. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. But the question I want us to ponder this morning is this. As we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ on this Christmas Sunday morning, is why did the Lord Jesus Christ come? Why did he come? Why are we celebrating? Why is it important for us to believe that the Word, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, was made flesh or became flesh? Why is it important to our not our theology, but to our souls, the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh? And I want us to look at that this morning, and I want us to think about it. And I want you to turn to a book perhaps you didn't expect whenever you'd come to think about, why did the Lord Jesus come? It's not Matthew, it's not Mark, it's not Luke, it's not John. We're going to 1 John. And in 1 John, we have the answers there. The answers of why the Lord Jesus Christ came. And indeed, whenever we think about it, the answers are given, especially in two passages of the Word of God in 1 John. And I want you to ponder the answers. Now, I want to say this morning. Don't have a heart attack, ladies, because you're thinking about the dinner's going to be burnt by the time we get home. No, we're going to keep in time this morning, and we're going to be acknowledging that fact. But you know, the Scriptures tells us in 1 John, it tells us five answers to why the Lord Jesus Christ came in the Word. Now, five is the number of grace. And of course, when we think of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that is the very manifestation of the grace of God, in that God looked upon us in favor, and God looked upon us in love and in mercy, and he sent his Son into this world. But the question is, why did he come? Why is there the celebration of a Christmas? And the two chapters I want us to look at is chapters 3 and chapter 4 of the book of 1 John. And there I believe we've got answers here that are worthy of our meditation. Now, first of all, if you look in 1 John chapter 3, and go to verse number 5, there's the first answer. Why did he come? It says there, "And ye know that he," that is the Lord Jesus, "was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now, there's the first answer. Why did he come? He came to take away our sin. Now, the word manifested, it says there, it says he was manifested. That can be the word sent, or it can be the word to come out into the open. To come out into the open. Because, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ did not commence his existence at Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. But the Lord Jesus Christ came out into the open. He appeared, the mission of Christ, he appeared in this world in the flesh. And why did he appear in the flesh? He was manifested, the Bible says, to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Now notice the problem is the problem that you and I have all had. It is our sins. And that's why he came. He came to take away our sins. And that's the reality that every one of us have got to face this morning, our sins. It's not somebody else's sin. It's not the sin of society in general. Our sin. It's our personal sin. And we realize that the Lord Jesus Christ came because of you. He came because of me. And that was that's a very personal thing. And thank God he was sent into this world, or he came out into the open. He became flesh to take away our sin. And the word is to take away. To take away. And that word means to lift up or to carry away. And there's a doctrine that's involved here. Is expiation is involved here. To wipe away, to remove our sins. There's a lovely verse away there in the book of the Psalms. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And therefore, it is the removal of the guilt of our sins by the means of his atonement. And guilt is covered by satisfaction, that is the vicarious punishment of Christ in our place. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to take away our sin, but to do that, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And by the blood of his cross, he paid for our sins. And thank God his precious blood covers our sins, and our sins are removed. Now, it says, not as far as the north is from the south, but as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Do you remember John said, John the Baptist was looking there, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was coming to him, and he said, coming into the very sight of John, and John cried out to people, he says, look, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so the Bible says that he was manifested to take away our sins. And thank God you and I can know forgiveness today. You and I can experience forgiveness of sins. Your sins and my sins are removed by the blood, are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you're here this morning in this service, and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you, there's surely no better morning that you could be saved to look back and say, listen, it was on Christmas Sunday morning when I heard the Word of God say that Christ Jesus was manifested to take away my sin. And I asked the Lord Jesus to cleanse me and to make me clean. Have you the experience of God's forgiveness this morning in your heart? Are your sins forgiven? That's why he was manifested. That's the first answer. He was manifested to take away our sins. And then if you look in that same chapter, 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 8 it says this. Here's the second answer to the question. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world? Why did God send him into this world? Now the Bible says in verse number 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, there's a second answer. Why did Jesus Christ come? Why are we celebrating Christmas today? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Word, was manifested or became flesh and came down into this world. And thank God he dwelt among us. And the purpose was, this purpose, the Son of God was manifested for that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, the verse starts this, and there's maybe a misunderstanding here. People get worried here. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, people say, hold on a second. There's none of us sinlessly perfect. There's none of us sinlessly perfect. So am I in that verse? Let me tell you, friend, we were in that verse. We were in it. But the question is, am I in it right now? Yes, because every one of us committed sin. Every one of us were sinners by practice. And even today, friend, there is not one of us that can stand here in this pulpit or in this congregation and say, look at me, I have never sinned in reality from the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. My friend, you're doing, by saying that, you are sinning because you're lying. Every one of us, we've sinned in thought and word and deed. It's not that we want to, it's not that we love to, but that's the reality in experience in our lives. So what does it mean here? He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now the meaning there is, he who is continuing doing sin is of the devil. In other words, in the business of practicing sin. In other words, that's what they just do. And that's what we did. That's what he did. That was the most natural thing for us to do whenever we were born in sin. We sinned. That's what sinners do. Sinners sin. And my friend, those who continue in sin and continue just practicing sin and never bothers them, that's their business. Their sin. It says that they are out of the devil as the source, because the sinner is related to the devil in his deeds. Of course, the devil caused sin to enter into this world. And friend, let me tell you this, the devil's real. Don't forget that. He's real. And you know, some people are sometimes dismissive of that fact as if they can just laugh the devil off. Friend, don't laugh the devil off. He's real. But thank God, don't overestimate either, because he is a creature. And the devil was created being. It was an angel who fell. Lucifer, the son of the morning. And the devil's work, friend, is deception. The devil's work is destruction. The devil's work is death. And that's what he brings into this world. Now, it says here, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And that speaks of that which has begun in the past and continues in the present. The beginning refers to the beginning of his diabolical career as devil. He was not always devil. He was Lucifer, the son of the morning. But he fell. He wanted to take the place of God. He wanted to dethrone God and become God. But notice what it says here, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now remember this, that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and lived in this world, the devil tried to destroy him. Remember that. The devil tried to destroy Jesus at his birth. You remember, through that king, he tried to just wipe out all the male children because he was wanting to destroy Jesus. He didn't care who else he destroyed. He wanted to get at Christ. That was his purpose. And so at the beginning of the Savior's life here in this old world, in the flesh, the devil tried to destroy him. Do you remember he tried to destroy him there in the Mount in temptation, in the temptations, in the wilderness? The devil tried to destroy him. Remember he said, listen, throw yourself down from the temple. He was trying to kill him. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep on the boat. And there was a mighty wind come up, because the devil's the prince of the power of the air.
And by this mighty wind come up, the Lord Jesus was asleep there in the hinder part of the ship. What was the devil trying to do, friend? He was trying to sink the boat. He was trying to kill Jesus. And even at the cross, he cried to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God, friend, our glorious champion stepped forth. And our glorious Savior, he met the devil. And the Bible says, for this purpose was he manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy. And thank God, the Lord Jesus, our champion, met him and destroyed him. Destroyed his works. You know the three offices of Christ. He's the prophet, he's the priest, and he's the king. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is Christ, the prophet, he is Jesus the priest, and he's Lord the king. And whenever you think about that, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped forth, and Christ the prophet destroyed the delusions that the devil brings to our minds. And thank God he brought the truth, for he is the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, the priest, he stepped forth, and thank God he destroyed the damnation that the devil brings to our souls. And then thank God Christ, the king, stepped forth, and he destroyed death. Because remember, death is the king of terrors and the terror of kings. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested. Thank God he destroys the delusions that the devil brings to our minds. He destroys the damnation that the devil brings to our souls. He destroys the death that the devil brings to our bodies. You see, that's why he was manifested. That he might destroy. That Christ might destroy the works of the devil. And my, the devil is at work today. But praise God, our champion, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And thank God he's the victor. He's the almighty victor. Thank God Christ, notice it says there, that he might destroy. The word there is to loose, dissolve. And what that means is this: Christ undone the bonds that bound us. And he provided a way of escape from the arch enemy of souls. We sing the hymn, he breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. And thank God we have freedom today in Christ. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Friend, that's why he came. That's what the book tells us. I happen to ask myself and ponder and wonder, why did Jesus Christ come? Why did God send his Son into this world? God gives me the answer. First of all, to take away our sins. Then secondly, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But then notice something else. Turn to chapter 4. And when you come to chapter 4, it tells us there in verse number 8, he that loveth or loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In him was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Here's number 3. That we might live. Through him. That we might live through him. You know what a demonstration of the love of God, friend. God sent his only begotten Son. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Isn't that just John 3:16 all over again? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Notice the words there. Because that God sent, listen, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Oh, thank God we're in this verse too. He has demonstrated the love that he has toward us in our case, because that God sent his only begotten Son into this world. The word only begotten, single of its kind. He's the unique begotten Son of God in the sense that he proceeds by eternal generation from God the Father as God the Son, possessing co-eternally with God the Father and God the Spirit, the essence of deity, that we might have life through him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to take life. Thank God he came to give his life so that you and I could have eternal life. You see, you and I have physical life today. We have a lot to thank God for. We have physical life. You and I have the ability to breathe today. You and I have the ability of coming to God's house. But friend, there's much more than that. A spiritual life. Spiritual life. That we might live through him. We have a body, but we have in that body a never dying soul. But because of sin, man spiritually died. And we were born in sin, and we were shapen in iniquity. We did not possess spiritual life. Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened or made alive. You hath he made alive. It wasn't that you were alive. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Spiritually, we were dead. And that's why we can't save ourselves, friend. A dead man can't do anything for himself. Dead man can't take his clothes off. A dead man can't put his shoes on. Can do absolutely nothing. Just lying there. And friend, that's as far as you and I were concerned. You and I cannot save ourselves, neither can we of ourselves do anything for our salvation. It says we can't come except the Father draw us. We couldn't even come to him except to be of God. But thank God, God has provided for us eternal life. And God's Son died that we might have everlasting life. That's what John 3:16 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but shall have everlasting life. My friend, that's the quantity of it. It's everlasting. It'll never, 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 ever come to its end. The gift of God is eternal life. That's the quality of it. That's the quality of the gift that God gives you, friend. Eternal life. And you shall never perish. And friend, that life was imparted through Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 10? He says, I'm come that you might have life. Notice, I am come. That's why he was manifested. That's why the Son of God and the Son of Man was manifested. Listen, that we might live through him. And that gift of God, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Friend, that's more than existence. That's not an existence. People of life today, let me tell you this, and they're lying and they're not able to move a limb. They have an existence. But God didn't send a Son that you and I might have an existence. That you and I might have abundant life. Abundant life. That you might live through him. There's the power of living. He not only gives you forgiveness, he not only gives you, my friend, freedom. But thank God, he gives you favor. That you might live through him. Then very quickly, let's move in that same chapter to verse number 10.
It says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. There it is again. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here is divine love in action. Propitiation, to propitiate means to appease or to render favorable. The turning away of God's wrath against sinners by the means of an atoning sacrifice. And thank God, friend, God does not look at us in anger this morning. That anger of God has been turned away because our sins are covered in the precious blood of Christ. God's wrath against sinners by means of the atoning sacrifice. Thank God, Jesus Christ satisfied the demands of the law. And God's wrath against sin, friend, could not be placated by any works that you and I have done. You know, people are trying to placate the anger of God by, I'll try my best, by their works. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and that's you're trying to live a clean life. And you think that that's all that you have to do, that somehow that you'll turn away the anger of God against your sin by you working the best you can and doing the best you can. But friend, that's not so. Only the infliction of the penalty of sin, which is death, would satisfy the just demands of the holy law of God, which you and I had violated, and provide the proper basis. There has to be a basis for God to bestow mercy. There has to be a basis, and it has to be a righteous basis on which God will provide an eternal salvation for his people. And the death of Christ on the cross, thank God, fully satisfied the demands of the broken law. And his blood was shed. And thank God, by the shedding of his blood, turned away God's wrath. Because he drank damnation dry for me. That's why I'll never perish. That's why, child of God, you'll never be in hell. You can never go to hell. Because Christ, the Son of God, all the punishment, all the suffering, all the pain, all the agony for your sins, it's by his stripes. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, thank God, we are healed. And the blood was shed. And the blood was presented. And thank God, we have peace with God. And we have fellowship. We have fellowship with God. Isn't that amazing? The sinful man can be in fellowship with a holy God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, I thank God it fills our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. That's why he came. That's why he came. That you and I, this Christmas Sunday morning, can be in fellowship with God. Now are we the sons, the daughters of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Lastly, now chapter 4, verse 14, this is what it says. And we have seen him. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We have seen and we have seen. You see, in verse number 12 it says, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we, us, that's you and me. We're in the verse too. We're in this verse. But notice what's in the verse. We have seen, and the word seen there is to steadfastly and deliberately contemplate. To steadfastly, to deliberately contemplate. You see, this is not a momentary thought. This is not a momentary viewing of the coming of Christ. It says, listen, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent off, or to send on a commission to perform certain duties. That's what he did. To die for sinners. To provide a salvation on the basis of justice satisfied. God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And isn't that what our brother read this morning concerning that news that came from the angels? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Yes, that was the first announcement. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why did he come? To be our Savior. That you and I today might have a faith in him. Who are you trusting this morning? Where's your faith? You see, there are people out in the world today, Islamic State, and they're telling us in the name of their faith, they're slaughtering. No, friend, we have a faith. And in him, it is a faith that brings man forgiveness, that brings man freedom, that brings man favor, that brings man fellowship with God. And that's why he came. And that's why we sang this morning, O come, let us adore him, Christ, the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the giving of thy Son. We thank thee that he was the Word, became flesh, and dwelt among us. We thank thee that when we're reading this morning, we're in the reason of his coming. We're able to testify of the reason of his coming, because thou hast opened our eyes to reveal he came to take away
our sins. And Lord, if there be one this morning in the service and they're not saved, may this be the day. May this be the morning their lives will change, this Christmas Sunday morning, that they will put their faith in Christ, the only Savior, Christ, the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.